Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, the Mayor of Liverpool, Joe Anderson, has set up an amazing idea of having cabinet members. So we have been talking to several of them because we want to know what makes a city go. We want to know what it's all about. We're going to talk to the cabinet member now of Housing and Community Safety. It's Anne O'Byrne. Hello, Anne.
Hiya, Peter.
Thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
Who's Anne, first of all? Tell us who you are. Tell us your background.
My background. We originally lived in Lodge Lane and we were shipped out to Kirby when most people were moved out there. And then from that, we were shipped out to Tower Hill. And as soon as I got work, I moved back into Liverpool. I know Kirby. Everyone who lives in Kirby thinks of themselves as being Liverpool. But I came back home and...
Let me stop you there. You talked about shipping out. I remember, because it was Skemmersdale, Kirby, yeah. Tower Hill. People didn't have any say in that, did they?
No.
Explain how that worked.
Quite understandably, that the house that we were living in, it was a two-up, two-down, really old style. No refurbishment had been taking place. Mum and Dad had four children. Mum had four kids before she was 21. So there was four of us in a two-up, two-down. And quite rightly, you know, we needed more space, and so we were moved out to Kirby because there was just no available housing. It was the new town. It was a bright place. It was the place to want to move to. Unfortunately, we were moved to a three-story flat, the top floor of a three-story block of flats. So she had these four little toddlers whilst living on the top floor of a flat. But we were quite happy there. And obviously then we moved out to Tower Hill into a house. But the reason why was because those flats were being demolished, so we were moved on.
Did everybody move together? Was it like a mass exodus? The city or the town had been built and they just shifted them out?
An awful lot. Some of our friends and families moved to Widnes, as you say. Some moved to Skem and some of us moved to Kirby.
Did you have the choice?
No, we... I mean, obviously, this is what my parents are telling me. So they were saying it was a case of your house is coming down. We need you to move. And actually, I don't think there was that much opposition given the standard of the properties that they were living in at that time.
I think what they lost, and I came from a two up and two down with an outside lavvy. Mm. So what they did lose with that was that community spirit. You really did leave your front doors open. You really did go in and out of each other's houses. And I wish it could be like that again. It never will be.
No. But I remember my nan and granddad was still living at Lodge Lane. So obviously we were down there every weekend to see them. And for a child, going to that outside loo was terrifying because, you know, it was dark. There were spiders. Also, walking up those stairs inside the house, they were the steepest stairs I've ever known. You had to walk up on your hands and knees because it was quite scary as a child to do that. And the condition of those properties was not the best. And obviously, now that I've got the portfolio for housing, recognising that we need to be investing in our older properties.
Who'd have thought all those years ago you finished up with the job you've got? That's incredible, isn't it? That's incredible.
I'm extremely lucky. Yeah.
When did you get into politics?
Well, I think I've always been interested in politics from a child. I remember when we'd be sitting round the table having our tea of a night and we'd talk about things, and it would be general conversations and the injustice of what was going on around us, whether it was world politics or what was happening nationally or even what was happening within our school. Levels of injustice used to really, really get to me, and I'd be talking about it. And then, you know, we'd laugh and joke about it, but it really got to me. And I'd always be wanting to make a difference. And I remember my mum coming home from parents' night when I was in the infants, and the teacher said, "Anne's either going to be a doctor or a social worker because she just wants to look after everybody." So I think there's just something inbuilt. But actually, what really politicised me was the miners' strike. Seeing the miners' strike.
How old were you then?
I was still at school.
Right.
And I saw
But that actually affected
it
you?
It really affected me. And I went round, we were living in Tower Hill then, and I went round my friends and neighbours in the street with my mum's shopping trolley and knocked on everybody's door and said, We need to do some. Will you give a tin of beans or something to help the miners?" Everybody did. Absolutely everybody did. And then, of course, I had this trolley full of food and I thought, well, where do we take this now? So I went to our local community centre in Tower Hill and they said, "Well, actually, we are doing collections. Would you like to get involved?" And so I got involved with the community centre. I volunteered with them then. We then looked at setting up a credit union in the area, and I got involved and we set up Tower Hill Credit Union. And then I got a job at the City Council, setting up credit unions for the City Council.
Have you always been Labour?
Always been Labour, yes. Yeah, joined the party as soon as I could. Actually, Wendy Simon, who is Cabinet Member for Culture, we worked together in a children's home in Highton together, and we both joined the Labour Party at the same time. Wendy was my mentor when I was a residential social worker.
We've got a general election coming up very soon, which people are saying they can't call it in any shape or form. Do you think, in your opinion, and just leaving your job for a side and putting your political head on, do you think Labour are losing their way with Ed Miliband?
I think that the press, the right-wing media, right across the spectrum, you know, they are out to get Ed. That's what I think. You know, the amount of good news stuff that's out there about Labour is just not getting reported on. I mean, how fickle, how to talk about the fact that he pulls a strange face when he chews a sweet or eats a sandwich. You know, I mean, it's such a base level that we are we're degrading the whole of politics by talking about it at this level. It's just appalling. And it's a fear. I really think that the Daily Mail and that crew are out to get him because they are absolutely terrified of a Labour government coming in. And I saw a headline in one of their newspapers talking about, you know, Ed's going to look at the fuel bills issues. You know, he's going to look at bank bonuses. He's going to look at the mansion tax. And they were talking about, you know, this is socialism. That's exactly right. And that's what they're absolutely terrified of, another socialist government.
The way voting has gone over the years has been pretty horrendous that people haven't. Did it give you new hope as a politician when we saw what happened in Scotland about the amount of people that turned out?
Wasn't it fantastic? It was absolutely. That's the point, isn't it? When people have got something that they take an interest in, they can galvanise and they can get behind it. So when people say that they're not turned on by politics, they are. They're not turned on by petty party politics. That's what turns people off. When you're talking about having a vision, having an idea, wanting to change people's lives, makes people's lives better, then actually people are really interested in that. What they're not interested in is when it's brought down to such levels as how does somebody eat a sweet. That's what really turns people off.
We might disagree over this, but I'll make my point. Where were you in the dark days? And when I say the dark days in Liverpool, I put it in the days of Derek Hatton. Where were you? Were you working in?
I was at school and just going into college during that period. I was at Kirby College when it was all going on. And people talk to me about it now. They go, you know, Derek Hatton did. And I was, But I was at school when that happened, as though in some way I should be held accountable for what happened with Derek Hatton and Tony Mulhern. I think that as an administration, we are so different. We want to make sure that we drive this city forward, and we are determined to do that.
Before we talk about that, have you ever had aspirations of going to Parliament?
No.
Never ever?
When I very first started getting involved, people said to me, oh, have you thought about being an MP? And of course you go, ooh, because you're flattered at the thought of somebody saying, oh, you could be an MP. But actually, I think as a cabinet member at Liverpool City Council, I can make more of a difference to the people of Liverpool in the job that I've got now than I could as a member of Parliament. And my passion and my interest is about the city of Liverpool and making it a better place for our residents to live. And I think as an administration, that's what we're doing. So I am really happy with the job that I've got, and that the mayor has got confidence in me and has kept me in this position.
Jake Morrison has just been public about whatever. I don't even want to go into what he's gone public about. What I do want to say is, do you think that more young people should come into politics, or do you think something like what's happened to Jake has done a disservice to young people coming into politics? It doesn't matter what party, young people in general.
Well, when you look at the new councillors that we've got, we've got some really, really good quality young councillors,
really?
And lots of young female councillors that I work really closely with, and I am so proud of them. They have passion, they've got commitment, they want to make a difference to this city. They've put their heart and soul into this party, and we're there and we're supporting them, and they're making a difference, and that's absolutely right. And It's about making sure that we're there to support our young counsellors, we're there to mentor them and to enable them to do their work within their wards. And that's what we're doing. And I am really enjoying that part of the job.
I make no bones about it. I'm a fan of Joe's. Always have been. Frightened me when he first came in. I thought he's an old lefty and I think he's going to do us a terrible disservice. He proved me totally wrong and I am a fan. And I get criticised greatly for being a fan because there is a little bit of negativity towards him. There is a campaign out there that just don't like him. Whatever he does,
that's absolutely
if he
right.
turned it around completely, they would find somebody to have a go. I make no bones about that. I am a fan.
There are a group of people that are on the extreme left that think we should set an illegal budget, that by setting an illegal budget, we would in some way be sticking two fingers up to this Tory government without realising that actually all that would happen is that Eric Pickles and his lot would come in. And do you really think they would have an interest in the people of this city? No, they would not. And we were never going to do that. We're here to make sure that we're delivering for the people of this city. And they can snipe on the sidelines, but actually we're getting on and doing the job.
Now, you mentioned Eric Pickles. I have a bone to pick with him. He won't come up here, will he?
No.
He's not in the slightest interested. With the money they're giving us, it means nothing because there's no Conservative votes here, so he doesn't give a damn about Liverpool. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right. And if you think about the absolute shambles that he's made of the Welsh streets, you know, where residents are desperately waiting for those new homes, and he called that in, and he called it in on petty party politics. It's just disgraceful. Those residents are desperate. And, you know, we've invited him. Joe, as you know, Joe sent him first class tickets. Come up here and see what it is. See the impact that your cuts, that your decisions are having on this city. And he's just absolutely disregarded because you're absolutely right. No votes here. Really doesn't care.
Can we not go above his head?
Well, above his head is David Cameron, isn't it? And do you really think that he cares either about this city?
I think it was wrong of Joe to send him first class tickets. What is £500,000 he spent on a limo? So I think it was a bit of an insult and a kick in the face.
Living a couple of miles away from
Parliament.
That, by
the way, is tongue in cheek, by the way, before anybody rings up and says, what are you talking about? Right, Cabinet Member for Housing Community Safety. What is it?
I'm the Cabinet Member for Housing, and that is to when Joe decided to stand as mayor, he gave a pledge to build 5,000 new homes in his term of office and to refurbish 1,000 properties. And obviously when that was communicated, I had a couple of sleepless nights, as you can imagine, waking up 3 o'clock in the morning going, oh my God, I built 5,000 homes. It was a massive task. And quite rightly that we should be setting really strong challenges. And I worked with our team, with our housing associations, with the private sector, and we are well on our way to delivering those 5,000. Just so you know, so far we've built 2,920 new homes. There's a further 2,600 in the pipeline. So we're going to smash that target. We've already brought back into use well over 1,000 properties. 1,300 have already been brought back into use. And we're going to take a paper to Cabinet at the next Cabinet meeting to talk about bringing another 1,000 back into use.
Let me stop you there over that. Now, there's several listeners who are listening right now that have got a thing about that. Why isn't the old property that is standing used? Is there major problems with a lot of them that they have to be pulled down?
Well, we're not. That's exactly what I'm saying. We're not talking about where we need to demolish properties and where people have agreed and there's a plan and we're going to put modern, quality, new homes in their place that are warm, that are safe, that have got a garden, that have got a driveway, that's aspirational living. Well, why shouldn't the people of this city have those type of properties? Because there's an awful lot of people who are very happy living in terraced properties, as I do. I love my terraced house. It's the only house that I've ever had. And I really love being there. But not everybody does. We've got to have a mix of different types of homes across this city. And that means starter homes. It means social housing. It means private rented property. And it means homes for sale. And those homes for sale have to be of a variety. Because what we want is we want people who are in good jobs staying in the city. So the houses have to be there to let them do that. We don't want them moving to Manchester or to the Wirral. We want them staying in their city. So we've got to have larger family homes and we've got to have executive homes at the same time as good quality social housing. And if we don't get the mix, we are not going to have the people moving into this city that helps with the regeneration of it, that brings council tax money in, that means that we can look after our most vulnerable residents.
As we sit here now, we know there are people who are demonstrating and very cross about, and I'll give you one example, the meadows. Why are we building on green land when there is brown land?
Well, we are building on our brownfield sites. 30 brownfield sites currently at the moment are housing schemes that we are either in the pipeline or ready to build on. So we are working on brownfield sites right across the city, not just for housing, but for commercial as well. We're also bringing brownfield sites back to be community gardens. You know, we've worked up in Alt Valley on the River Alt. We've made a new park up there. So we are working really strongly to bring all of our brownfield sites around. But if you talk specifically about Park Avenue, that was always designated for housing if you look back at the old plans. It's not Sefton Park. Sefton Park's massive, a really beautiful, well-maintained park. This is a piece on the fringe that's very rarely used, despite what the protesters say. It's very rarely used. And it was always designated for housing. We're going to put some really good quality houses on there that will bring a higher rate of council tax in. That means that we've got revenue, as I say, that will help us with our libraries, with our roads, with our leisure centres. You know, we need to have good quality housing as well. And it was always designated. And when I think when they are built out, people will say that they really look good and it fits in well with the rest of the houses and with the surroundings. And I think that they will be happy with it.
When you had stock, a lot of stock housing that you rented out, council rent, how much money is still owed to you? Is a vast amount of money that's owed that never got paid in rent?
I don't know. We did a stock transfer, didn't we, about 6 years ago to LMH. And obviously that went over. If you're talking about council tax, we still pursue for council tax.
That's for council tax.
Yes, yeah.
But rents, wasn't a lot of money owed? Or were you not around then?
I wasn't around then, but I can find out.
I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
So now,
whether that was transferred over with the stock transfer to LMH, and that was part of the
deal for them to get the money in. Right. Now you mentioned council tax. How much are we owed?
We are one of the very few authorities that writes off council tax. We do not write off council tax, I should say. Most authorities, after a certain amount of time, write it off, and we haven't done that. We are still pursuing residents who owe council tax, and quite right too, because if you owe that money, why should other people be picking it up? That the council tax money that we get coming in helps maintain some of our services, and we've got to make sure that we're looking after our residents, and we've got a duty of care to keep that council tax coming in. And we do really well on that. And so when we're criticised by central government about the amount of council tax that's still owed to us, that's because we don't write it off when other people do.
Now, everybody knows I'm against bedroom tax, and it seems to be universal.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is there are houses where people are sitting in with three bedrooms, two bedrooms that we need. Now, three examples I had, they came on and they wanted a move, but there's no one bedroom houses. Tell us what it's about.
You're absolutely right. The ethos of the bedroom tax is about making sure that the number of families fit to those properties. What's wrong is that it was done retrospectively, that people had no choice, isn't it? It's morally wrong, the bedroom tax. If you're living in a three-bedroom property and now that they are suddenly saying you only need two, where do you move to when there aren't enough two-bedroomed and one-bedroom properties? So it's morally corrupt, the whole bedroom tax. And I am so proud that Labour very quickly came out and said, when we take control in May, we will be abolishing the bedroom tax. What you're talking about is how can we work with residents for those that want to move, that are in a house that's too big for them? Because actually, if you're in a house that's too big for you, that there's more heating, there's more fuel that you use, and actually the more expensive to run. So working with residents so that they are, if they choose to, able to move to a smaller property is what we should be doing. But the way that the bedroom tax has been done has been about forcing people. It's been about putting people into debt. And if you hear what the Tories said about this, was actually they were not expecting people to move, because they were talking about this being able to save money. And the only way you can save money is if those people are paying for those extra bedrooms. And the only way you can pay for it is the fact that you are on benefits. So really, it's a tax on the poor. It's one of the cruelest things that this, and they've done so many cruel things, but it's one of the cruelest things that this government's done.
Tell us about the cabinet. Is it working? Explain the idea to people who don't know what we're talking about.
We have a cabinet, so each of us has a portfolio. So we've got me with housing, we've got cabinet member Nick Small, for example, does employment and skills. Jane Corbett does education. Wendy Simon, culture tourism, and Steve Mumby doing neighbourhoods, and that's about us all working together, looking at what it is that in our individual portfolios, coming forward with ideas, being able to discuss those ideas, and making sure that we listen to people, we take ideas, because you're coming forward with a proposal, and people say, well, have you thought about doing this? Have you thought about the impact that it would have on this particular community? And so we're able to work things through, bring that back with a firmed up plan that we all support, and then we take that forward to full cabinet and get that endorsed. And it's a great way to make sure that actually there's checks and balances, that it enables us to have full discussions and make sure that the plans that we put forward are for the best for the city.
Do you have staff working for you, each one of you?
So, for example, my housing is now in the regeneration portfolio, so we have a team of officers within regeneration that are looking at housing, and I work really closely with them. But I also work with our staff who are in the neighbourhoods team, because housing isn't just about a house, is it? It's about the whole community, and how do we improve the whole of our communities and uplift areas so people feel safe, they feel welcome in their community, the area is nice and clean, and it makes them want to stay in Liverpool and want to invest. They've got a pride in their community, and then therefore they have pride and they look after it.
Every time I speak to any of you that work with Joe, we have to remind everybody that you are all working under the most unbelievable cuts and more to come. And we have to remind people, how has it affected you in housing?
The great thing about housing is that it's about physically building properties and knowing that actually if we build some really good quality houses and we sell a piece of land, then the money from that will go towards helping build the new schools that we've got. So the revenue that we get from our capital programme helps build out our 12 new schools. That's fantastic to know. That you know when you're building new homes that there's more revenue coming into the city, and that'll help protect adult social care and our children's services, knowing that the work that we're doing not only provides really good quality homes for our residents, but the added benefits are that it brings revenue in that enables us to do the really good things that we're doing in this city. Obviously, as part of that, you're seeing the impact that it's having across the whole of our portfolios. And, you know, when we're at cabinet and we're talking about the impact of the cuts, you know, within adult social care or within children's services, and it's absolutely heartbreaking, some of the things that are coming across, and even more to come, and recognising that, but doing the best that we can to shield our residents as much as we possibly can from that. And that's by us all working together and working with our partners, our housing association partners, who are saying, how can we support? What is it that we can do? How can we be working better together? Where can we be saving money, doing things joined up in a more sensible way that means that actually we're saving money, which we can put elsewhere to help you? People are really stepping up to the plate. And I think in this city, our housing association partners have demonstrated that they have done that fantastically. I'm really proud of them.
Do you think the cabinet idea is working?
It is. It really is. It's a really forward-thinking way of doing things. And I think Joe, you know, has got it bang on. Once again,
what's your thoughts on you yourself on Metro Mayor?
I for exactly the reasons that you've heard Joe speaking about, if we're going to have a Metro Mayor, it needs to be somebody that's in that position as a full-time post. You know, if we are talking about for the city region, how we can improve the city region, because actually, you know, we all want to see the whole of Merseyside uplifted, don't we? We want to see Merseyside as a whole improved, more jobs. And as I said before, people who live in Kirby, as when I lived in Kirby, when people asked me where I lived, I said, I live in Liverpool. Because that's how I see it. People who live in Bootle, they don't say, I live in Sefton. They see it as Liverpool. It's the greater Liverpool area, isn't it? And we want to uplift that. And I think working together, but having that focal point, is the way forward. And I really do hope that we can get a deal that means that we've got investment going on in Merseyside. I think what's happening in Manchester is really exciting. And we want to see that happening in Merseyside.
Before we finish, I've got to ask, how many people here are looking for houses?
We've got what's called a choice-based letting service. So that's a list of people who are waiting. And it may be that they are not in desperate housing need, but it might be, for example, that their family have moved to, say, Netherley, and that they want to move to Netherley to be closer to their family. So they're not in housing need. They're just waiting for a property because that's where they want to live. So it's about enabling people across the whole of Merseyside to choose where they want to live. It's quite an advanced system, but we've got far too many people waiting for homes. And we have done remarkably well on homelessness within Merseyside. And I'm sure you know about our No Second Night Out, which is that there are 1,000 reasons why somebody might have one night on the street, but there is no reason why someone should spend a second night. And we are working really closely with the Whitechapel Centre. And we've got a universal number people can ring up. And if they are on the streets, then we can work with them. We can get them into support and then get them off the streets and into a home. So we are working really closely on our homelessness. And I'm really proud of that the whole of Merseyside has come together to deliver this.
Have we got many people in bed and breakfast?
We have nobody in bed and breakfast on Merseyside.
I'll ask that again. Have we anybody in bed and breakfast?
We have nobody in bed and breakfast.
Wow. Last question. Is the immigration causing a problem for you in this area with housing? So the people who are coming in, we hear these myths about they get a house, a car, a phone and whatever. Does it happen?
No, it doesn't. We are part of the wider scheme about those that are seeking asylum in this country, that are escaping from persecution, you know, some horrendous experiences. And quite rightly, as a city, we should be supporting those most vulnerable. But you also know that as a city, we have been losing our population for a considerable number of time. We have been decreasing. We've only just stabilised and hopefully we'll be on an upward trajectory. We need more people moving into Liverpool. We want people who want to work in this city, who want to contribute to this city, who want to make sure that they are creating wealth and therefore investing in the city for everybody. What on earth would be wrong with that? But to say that we've got people coming over here getting social housing, it just doesn't happen. We have lots of people that go into private rented property. But of course, if you ask people, did you get a house? And they say yes. They don't know whether it's social housing or private rented because they don't understand the system. And it's just the way people manipulate just to get a quick and dirty headline. And it's wrong. And it puts people against people. And the way that this government has played working, you know, trying to pit working class people against working class people has been appalling. But actually, in Merseyside, we're good and decent people and we're not having any of that.
Cabinet Member for Housing, Community Safety, Anne O'Byrne, thank you very much for joining. Last thing, message to Mr Pickles.
Make a decision on the Welsh streets. Allow Liverpool to get on and develop for our city. You talk about localism, but you don't actually believe in it. We do. Let us make the right decisions for our people. Just let us get on with it.